The following is a community affairs presentation from the Ulster County Health Department. This is the Healthy Ulster Radio Show, a weekly presentation exploring community health and sustainability with guests representing a broad spectrum of community partners working to make Ulster County the healthiest in New York State. This program is sponsored by the Health Alliance of the Hudson Valley in Kingston, a member of the WMC Health Network.
Good morning. You are listening to Healthy Ulster Radio. I am your host, Dr. Carol Smith, Commissioner of Health and Mental Health for Ulster County. With me this morning is my co-host, Vin Martello, our Director of Community Health Relations. Good morning, Vin.
Good morning, Dr. Smith. How are you?
I'm fine, thanks.
Dr. Smith, today, as you know, is a topic which is on everyone's mind, and certainly we've been working around the clock to address this issue locally and also nationally, the national federal authorities and state authorities, and that is coronavirus. Can we begin the program by just telling our listeners what coronavirus is and where it comes from?
Sure. Well, coronaviruses have been with us really for a long time, and it consists of a large family of viruses. We have experienced coronavirus outbreaks in the past. The problem with this current viral outbreak is that it is a new strain of coronavirus, one which we have not seen in the human population before. And as a result, the spread from person to person happens very quickly and over a broad area. Because there isn't what we call any kind of herd immunity in the population to this particular strain of virus. So it is thought to be transmitted through droplets, through coughing and what have you. Really common sense measures of prevention need to be employed to help to control the spread of the virus in any population. And we'll get into that in a moment.
And where did it first emerge globally?
Well, globally, the first recognized cases happened in the Wuhan province of China. And it is not totally clear, you know, where this virus emerged from. There is some thinking it may have started in an open air type of community marketplace in which live animals were being bought and sold. But that is also a supposition at this point. The being a new virus, there is a lot to be learned about its epidemiology, and literally the scene is changing on a daily basis because of new information coming in and data being evaluated and analyzed. So it is a rapidly evolving situation. We are trying to respond in as real time a manner as we possibly can. And I think we are making headway and beginning to understand it better. But it will take some time to really study the outbreak, the epidemiology of it, and to get a full understanding of all of the aspects of the transmission of this virus.
Mm-hmm. And can you give us a read on what the current statistics are on a global and national state level, local level in Ulster County?
Sure. Well, then again, it is a rapidly changing situation. So interested people can go on to the World Health Organization, WHO for short, website and the CDC. They also have postings literally on an hourly basis of the numbers of cases that are being identified. The number of cases as of a couple of hours ago was about 92,000 worldwide that have been confirmed. And sadly, of that 92,000, about 3,000 people have died because of infection with this virus.
Globally.
Globally. Yes, right. That's across around the world. And of course, having initial outbreak identified in China, it then proceeded to spread to other provinces in China, to other areas in the Far East, to the Mideast, Iran included, to countries in the European Union, Italy, in the Mideast, Iran. So we're, you know, watching which countries have become impacted by this, and also the monitoring for travelers coming back to the U.S. from mm-hmm. these countries where the virus has now begun to spread.
Mm-hmm. And what are the most common symptoms of this particular
virus?
The
most common symptoms are not necessarily unique to other coronaviruses or to seasonal flu, for that matter. Fever, cough, fatigue, shortness of breath, some trouble breathing, and in some cases, pneumonia. It's important to note, and I think something worth saying, that from what we've seen of this problem, this disease, about 80% of the cases have mild to moderate symptoms, and about 20% have more severe outcomes. And in this particular coronavirus case, it seems to prefer to lodge in pulmonary or lung tissues. And we think that may account for the number of cases of pneumonia that we are seeing in the vulnerable older populations or the immune-compromised individuals or individuals with chronic medical conditions who seem to then develop a pneumonia in response to this viral infection.
Mm-hmm. And that actually prompted my what the next question was going to be is, who is most at risk? So you mentioned elderly and those with compromised immune systems, but if someone is experiencing symptoms, they should get checked out nonetheless, right?
Yeah, you know, this is also seasonal flu time, and because of that, we are seeing an awful lot of flu cases as well, which then tends to complicate this picture quite a bit. However, you know, if someone is experiencing fever, cough, fatigue, shortness of breath, they certainly should be evaluated medically. If, in addition to these symptoms, they've also traveled to regions where the outbreak has been rather widespread, then, of course, that puts them in a different category, and they really should, in addition to their healthcare provider, contact the health department and let us all know that there is a travel history in to their presentation, because that may influence how they're being tested or cared for or monitored, as the case might be.
Or even if they might be exposed to, like, say, in a college campus environment with international students who may have traveled, right, to those places.
I mean, we've been in touch with agencies across all sectors, certainly the educational campuses and institutions. They're aware of it. The New York State Department of Education is working with the New York State Department of Health in order to make sure that everyone is on the same page with respect to the situation among foreign students or students that have traveled abroad as part of their educational experience.
Mm-hmm. And what specifically is the Department of Health doing to prepare for a potential and possible outbreak?
Well, the preparations are intense and they're very widespread. So we can go into more detail mm-hmm. about those preparations mm-hmm. in the second part of
sure.
our show. But they certainly have taken into consideration every aspect of life that you can think about in a community and mm-hmm. how we can best prepare the community to deal with widespread transmission of this kind of an illness in all sectors, be it educational or mm-hmm. business, and how it's impacting our healthcare system, et cetera. Very intense plans mm-hmm. are in process as we speak.
And this is something that we continuously train for, right? I mean, in our emergency preparedness
absolutely.
Division.
Absolutely. We've been preparing for the onset of a pandemic, global pandemic, now every year for a decade or so, because we've recognized that it's maybe not so much a question of if, but a question of when, given all factors that we are experiencing globally in the present time.
Mm-hmm. Well, interesting. We want to hear a lot more about this, and I'm sure our listeners are very interested in this topic. But first, we're going to take a short break. You're listening to Healthy Ulster Radio. We'll be back after these words.
I love the way that picture looks. Can you move it to the left just a bit? Careful on the ladder.
Really? You know I'm always careful. Let me move it just a little bit more. Uh-oh!
Let's face it, accidents happen. When life takes an unexpected turn, you want your family treated at a full-service emergency room, where you'll find physicians who are board-certified in emergency medicine.
Let's get in the car. We're going to the ER.
Oh, but we'll be waiting for hours.
Introducing the 30 minutes or less ER pledge, only at Mid-Hudson Regional Hospital in Poughkeepsie and Health Alliance Hospital in Kingston, members of the WMC Health Network. When you arrive in either of these emergency rooms, you'll be seen by a member of the care team within 30 minutes. Expert trusted emergency care without the wait. To read the 30 minutes or less ER pledge, visit wmchealth.org/ER30.
Well, that was painless.
Hey, I'm the one with the stitches.
No, I was talking about the wait.
Another way the WMC Health Network is advancing care. Here.
This is an important message from the Ulster County Department of Health regarding coronavirus. We're prepared and we're working closely with the CDC, the New York State Department of Health, and local healthcare providers to share information and to address any and all potential outbreaks of the disease. In the meantime, you can do your part to protect your family. Wash your hands frequently for at least 20 seconds, especially before eating. Avoid touching your eyes, nose, and mouth. Avoid touching surfaces in public spaces. Cover your coughs and sneezes with a tissue or sleeve and dispose of tissues in the trash. If you're experiencing symptoms such as fever, cough, trouble breathing, and fatigue, contact your healthcare provider. And please stay home to avoid infecting others. Together, we can meet this challenge. For more information, visit ulstercountyny.gov/health.
And we're back. Bob from Scranton, you're on the air.
Hi, Ted. Love the show. Long-time listener, first-time caller.
Thanks, Bob. Is there a special someone out there you'd like to talk about?
There is, Ted. I recently lost a very big part of my life.
You'd been together a long time?
Since college. This is for my belly, my paunch, my spare tire. I know we had some good times. God knows I'll never forget that night in Albuquerque with the burritos.
It's never easy to lose something that's been such a huge part of you, Bob. Where'd the magic go?
Well, I'd recently begun taking the stairs more and more instead of the elevator, and then we started seeing less and less of each other. One day, it was just gone.
Small step number 67. Take the stairs instead of the elevator or escalator. It's just one of the many small steps you can take to help you become a healthier, well, you. Get started at www.smallstep.gov and take a small step to get healthy.
A public service announcement brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
You may not realize how important three letters can be. For a patient who needs type A, B, or O blood, these letters can mean life. But there simply aren't enough people giving blood. Without more donors, hospitals may not have the blood needed to save lives. That's why the American Red Cross needs people to help restore the A's, B's, and O's that are depleting each day. You are the missing type patients need. Visit redcrossblood.org/missing types or call 1-800-RED-CROSS to make your donation appointment today.
Welcome back. You're listening to Healthy Ulster Radio. My name is Vincent Martello, Director of Community Health Relations for the Ulster County Department of Health and Mental Health. I'm here with our commissioner and co-host, Dr. Carol Smith, and we were discussing coronavirus, a topic on everyone's mind. Dr. Smith, we talked about the nature of the virus and how it's transmitted, where it's emerged, and so on. I think most importantly for residents, though, they want to know what they can do to help prevent this, and what steps they can take on a personal level for themselves and their families. What are the recommended steps?
Oh, absolutely. There are some very common sense measures that can be taken to help protect oneself or one's loved ones from getting sick from either this coronavirus or seasonal flu or any other respiratory illness that should be out there. So certainly one of the very best measures, and it sounds simple, but I can't underscore it enough, it's frequent hand washing with soap and water for at least 20 seconds. Certainly before eating or, you know, after coming in from being out and about or what have you, hand washing is one of the most effective ways, really, to avoid infecting oneself with transmissible diseases. If one does have a cough or a sneeze, covering that cough or sneeze with a tissue, or if you don't have one in hand, coughing into your sleeve, making sure you dispose of tissues in the trash. Wash your hands after that sort of situation where you're coughing or sneezing. Avoid touching any of your mucous membranes, your nose, your mouth, your eyes, because this is thought to be transmitted through mucous membranes, not so much
transmitted. These are pathways into the body.
They are pathways into the body. Exactly right. Avoid touching, you know, multiple surfaces whenever possible in public spaces, and wash your hands. If you do have to use handrails or what have you. And if you are sick, stay at home to avoid infecting others by spreading your germs. And again, you know, if there is something particular about your history, such as travel to areas where the disease has become widespread, definitely let the health department know, let your health provider know. These are very important measures. But stay home from school. Stay home from work if you're ill, and take care of yourself using these common sense measures, and reaching out if the symptoms become more severe.
And in general, what should residents and families do to prepare for a potential outbreak? Not that it's inevitable, but for this and maybe any other type of public health emergency.
Absolutely. And that could, you know, cover a number of things, not only personal disease issues, but certainly environmental issues like storms and loss of your electric power or ability to use your wells or what have you, to make sure that you have a plan to be prepared. Have a connection, a phone connection with friends, family, if possible. Make sure that you have enough medications. If you're on daily medications at home, make sure you have a supply of water at least for 3 days. Make sure that you have some non-perishable foods on hand, things of that nature, whether it's that you're anticipating a hurricane or anticipating the spread of an epidemic. It's important to make sure that you've had a plan, that you are prepared.
And also, one of the notes I saw talked about checking up on elderly neighbors.
Exactly.
Or disabled, and people living alone, just to see how they're doing and
Absolutely.
To be a good neighbor, right?
Yeah. Especially if in a situation where, say, you've lost phone connections or cell use, whatever, have a handheld or a hand-cranked radio mm-hmm. on hand that doesn't need electricity or batteries. Make sure, you know, you do reach out to neighbors to let them know that, you know, in an emergency that you may need some help on, and make that neighborhood connection. It can be very important in the case where we may have closures of various roads or, you know, what have you.
And it's always good to have a family communications plan, right? Just to
Yes.
kind of let your family know that if there were an emergency, this, and we couldn't get in touch with each other, this is what we would do, and this is
have
what,
a plan.
You know, so that there
Absolutely.
Would be something in place that you all understood, kind of like a fire drill at your house or whatever.
Yeah, exactly.
Mm-hmm. And is there a vaccine for this, and how is it treated?
There's no vaccine at the moment.
Mm-hmm.
However, I do know that there are many agencies, pharmaceutical firms, et cetera, that are, you know, working to develop a vaccine specific for this particular strain of virus. However, it does take some time to develop an effective vaccine, and that time may include some months between the point where a vaccine has been identified and then the point at which it actually can be administered because it's known now to be an effective measure. So we're awaiting a vaccine, mm-hmm. and one will come undoubtedly. But in the meantime, you know, if one is sick, really the treatment right now is supportive care. And what that means is you know, if someone needs fluids, that they receive fluids. If they need oxygen, that they be given oxygen. We're also investigating the use of various antiviral agents to see if they're mm-hmm. effective against this mm-hmm. particular strain. We do know that antivirals can be very effective in some seasonal flu cases to mm-hmm. mitigate the effects of the flu. So all of these details are in the process of being not only considered, but actively investigated.
Mm-hmm. And there are also self-care measures, right, in terms of keeping one's immune system boosted up.
Absolutely.
Like getting sufficient sleep is a big one.
No question.
Reducing stress, which
yeah,
is also
absolutely.
A big one, right?
And since, you know, it's an important point to raise here and in every opportunity that we can, if one is a smoker, by all means, do everything in one's power to quit smoking, because smoking compromises the ability of the lungs to deal
right.
with infections. And, you know, if one is a chronic smoker, you know, and one becomes exposed to a condition or a virus like this, the chances of you are developing more severe problems secondary to the virus or pneumonia are greater in smokers. And, you know, so avoiding smoking, vaping, having as best you can a healthy, well-balanced diet, yes, sleep, et cetera, mm-hmm. They're very important factors in maintaining general wellness overall.
And a little earlier, we touched briefly on the specific preparations going on at a local level with our county government and health department. Can you just give us a quick review of
Absolutely.
Those?
Absolutely. In fact, we are working with our various county agencies and departments. Every agency and department in the county, actually, to consider this potential pandemic issue, how we would all respond, how UCAT would respond with their buses, how DSS could respond, how the health and mental health have been responding.
Veterans, seniors.
Veterans, the Office for the Aging, seniors who, you know, receive Meals on Wheels, et cetera. The Sheriff's Department.
And also our nursing homes and hospitals, right?
Our nursing homes and hospitals have been included in the discussion. All of these agencies really have their emergency preparedness plans or pandemic plans. So we're recommending that those plans be looked at, refreshed in light of the current situation. But we are in communication with all of our county agencies. The county executive and his administration has been in the lead on this and making sure that we keep the media appraised of the ongoing situation, working with our school supervisors, working across the board with our business community, mm-hmm. and we'll be doing that on a very regular basis with regular updates as the number of cases in New York State. We do have some cases in the state, and of course, sadly, we've heard of a number of deaths in Washington State,
right.
On the West Coast. So we have certainly now seen the introduction of this virus into the United States, and all of us in our respective departments across the country are in the process of actively preparing and working to mitigate the spread and the effects of this virus.
So really, not the time for panic, but the time for sensible prevention
Absolutely.
And preparation,
Absolutely.
Right?
Panic doesn't accomplish anything.
Right.
We need to pay attention.
Right.
We need to pay attention to responsible news outlets,
mm-hmm.
Be careful about Facebook postings, et cetera, or rumors, or inaccurate information. They can be very counterproductive. So we recommend just following the news, looking at the CDC, consulting their website, the World Health Health Organization, New York State Department of Health website, and our own Ulster County website address, which is
ulstercountyny.gov/health, right?
Absolutely.
So that those are all reputable sources, and we will get through this together. It is a challenge. It's new in some ways, but not new in others in terms of what we've dealt with in the past.
Yes.
And we encourage everyone to stay with it, keep your family protected, check on your neighbors, and we will get through this together.
And we will give updates periodically.
Right. Well, thank you so much, Dr. Smith. You're listening
to
Healthy Ulster Radio. Stay tuned next week for more great information that you can use to keep yourself, your family, and our community healthy and strong.
You've been listening to the Healthy Ulster Radio Show, a community affairs presentation from the Ulster County Health Department, sponsored by Health Alliance of the Hudson Valley in Kingston, a member of the WMC Health Network. Thanks for listening, and be sure to join us for another edition of the Healthy Ulster Radio Show next week.